It's time for Wise Money with Corhorn Financial Group with financial advisors Kevin Corhorn, Mike Bernard, and Josh Gregory.
Welcome to another episode of the Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group, where every week we're helping you take your next wise step in your financial life. Thanks for being here, friends. My name is Mike Bernard. I am your host. I'm also one of the CFPs on the program. And with me in the KFG studios, my business partners and fellow CFPs, Kevin Corhorn and Josh Gregory.
Well, as we looked back at 2023, we were somewhat surprised that despite a strong labor market and stock market, data showed that a record number of people tapped their 401k last year for a hardship withdrawal. Why is this trend increasing, and what are the alternative options, and what new law changes could make this number grow even more? That and more coming up on this episode of the Wise Money Show.
We love your questions. We love your comments. So keep sending them. And if you'd like to do so, I have a question about your own financial situation. You need some help. We are here for you. You can call or text us 574-222-2000. That's 574-222-2000. Online, wisemoneyshow.com. It's where you can find us. And then all over social media, wherever you're at, we are there as well. Just search the Wise Money Show. All right. Let me ask you a question. And I'm going to pause because I want you to answer it in your head. When you need cash for an emergency, where do you go? Do you have a good answer to that question? I hope you do, because through a comprehensive approach to your finances, looking at all six areas, you're going to answer that question. If you don't like the answer, you'll start taking steps with your CFP so that you get a good answer. But if you currently, when I ask that question, if you don't like your answer, work with your CFP. As Kevin says, run, don't walk, go get the help and build that financial foundation. Because Kevin's right. Even though we're well into 2024, data just came out recently from Vanguard about 2023, and it's going to surprise you. Guys, Vanguard, the second largest retirement plan provider out there. I believe Fidelity, they used to go back and forth. Who was number one? Fidelity by a landslide right now, I believe. But Vanguard's up there. And so they've looked at all of their retirement plan participants. Record number of people took withdrawals from their 401k last year. And I'm just going to stop there, and we're just going to open it right there. Guys, why do you think that is? What's the data? Let's start breaking it down.
Man, I don't know if I'm necessarily that surprised, just because we've been watching some other trends that have been happening for a while now, where there's data out there that shows how much cash Americans have on hand, for example. And of course, it ballooned during the pandemic because no one could go out and spend anything, and the government was throwing money around like crazy. You were receiving all kinds of checks all the time. And so people had this surplus of cash, but we've been watching it decline pretty rapidly, and it went negative recently. So essentially, people started hitting credit cards and other things, and it's not long after that before, you know, you have some kind of hiccup in your financial life and you're needing to tap something somewhere. And I'm not real surprised to see, it'd be tempting to go get long-term assets if that's the easiest thing to do at times.
Josh, you make me so mad, because I was terribly surprised by this and disappointed. But logically, you're absolutely right, because on the Wise Money YouTube channel and I do some other stuff where I'm always looking at data and then talking about it in different mediums. Yeah, I mean, we've amassed over $1 trillion of credit card debt. And by the way, not only is that a record high, that's also at record high credit card interest rates ever.
Right.
And so, that shows. And yes, the excess cash has been depleted. Those charts we've talked about.
Well, think about some of the other forces at work, too. I mean, there were literally years where people maybe weren't having to make student loan payments. There were breaks in rent payments or mortgages and things. Interest rates used to be more affordable when you're buying a house. And so you throw all that in, and it's just a change in cash flow for a lot of folks. I think about the pandemic and how we changed our patterns just as a nation, as individuals too, where people live, what they're spending, all of that. And it's like everyone's trying to still figure out an equilibrium while inflation is still a thing, right?
Yeah.
So you throw all that in there, and man, I don't know. I'm sympathetic to anyone who's feeling that financial pressure and maybe needing to tap into or feeling the need to tap into those 401k assets.
Well, I want to just hit some of the numbers real quick, and then Kevin, pop it over to you. So what percentage? So in all of Vanguard, they surveyed, and it's 3.6% of participants took withdrawals from their 401ks last year. Now, so we're not talking 40%.
That's early withdrawals.
Early withdrawals. Yes, thank you. Thank you. So hardship withdrawals due to financial emergency. So 3.6%. So we're not talking 40% or 50%, but 3.6, that is a record high. And it was only 2.8 in 22, but here's the surprise. In 2020, when they relaxed these rules, when unemployment, you know, skyrocketed, it was only 2%. So we are almost double what it was. I think we are double what it was in 2020. Now, continue with some of this, some of the data here. The majority, 75% of these withdrawals were less than $5,000. So it wasn't an enormous amount that they withdrew. And when asked, the majority of people said they took this withdrawal to avoid a foreclosure. Mm-hmm. Which I found very interesting. So I'm just throwing that all in for you to digest. Kevin, you know, thoughts on all this. Are you surprised? What do you think the reasons are?
Well, it is surprising to me that when I look at this, I think, all right, for the most part, if employers are doing a great job of getting a participant success advisor in front of the 401k participants, that person should be encouraging them, because if 75% of these are less than $5,000, I was talking with a very concerned father this past week, and he was relating to me
the I didn't know you were Catholic. The dad jokes. Okay, keep going.
Oh, Mike. Oh, that hurts.
I know
it does. Can't do that to
I know. Keep going.
Okay, so anyway, so he was talking about his son with a financial hardship. And he wanted to kind of throw his son a Hail Mary. Whoa.
They're very good.
No, okay. No, stop. So anyway, no, his son was having some financial issues, and he's like, should my son file bankruptcy? And we were getting into it. His son has $10,000 of credit card debt. Mm-hmm. Well, no, you shouldn't. No, your son, no matter what his financial state is 18 months away from digging out. This is the amazing thing. Like, we've seen folks show up with real financial problems. Like $10,000, that seems so doable. Whether it's 18 months or 60 months, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. That is a hole that is inevitably dig outable.
Yeah.
And
hard work. Yes. Determination. Oh, yes. You gotta make some adjustments.
Sacrifice, yes.
But
yes,
you can do it.
But if you've never done it and you've never seen it done before, it could seem overwhelming, like, sure, well, there's no way out of this.
And if you don't have hope, and if you don't understand the systems.
Yeah.
Because what happens is once you get gripped with fear, you become desperate. Mm-hmm. And so this is where I would encourage you, if you are feeling like, wait a minute, I am fearful and I don't know where to turn and I don't think I can make my payment to Bank of America. And what are they going to do? Are they going to garnish my wages? Are they going to come and repossess my car that I don't have any debt on? What's going to happen?
Yeah.
And no. Don't be a slave to fear.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So where we're going to go, we got a couple more things to hit, but where we're going to go is, the IRS or Congress has actually created new rules that are taking effect right now that will allow you to treat your 401k even more like an ATM. It's almost like they're setting up the rules to encourage this. So we're going to explain those rules, but then talk about the system and how you can build the right infrastructure foundation so you don't have to do this. But let me ask you a question. What are your thoughts with, you know, the stock market had a fantastic year in 2023. Any sense that folks took these withdrawals because they saw their balance go up and they thought, well, before the balance goes back down, let me just draw some out? Thoughts on that?
I wouldn't think that that would weigh in. If you're in like a genuine hardship and trying to avoid foreclosure in a lot of these cases, it's like it doesn't matter what the market did, whether I'm selling at a high point or a low point. I feel like I'm backed into a corner and this is my only option.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to try to solve. That's what proactive planning is trying to help avoid, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I have had conversations with folks that have looked and said, well, when my balance gets to here, gets above this level, I'm going to draw it down to this. And I haven't really been a great, you know, fan of that approach. We're going to talk about why and the challenges withdrawing money early out of your 401k anyway. But a couple other thoughts as we dig into this detail. But then again, what's the problem with this? And then how do you avoid it? We've got all that more coming up on the Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group.
This is Wise Money with Corhorn Financial Group.
A record number of people took withdrawals, hardship withdrawals, from their 401ks last year. What's the reason? But really, what's a better approach? We're helping with that right now. This is the Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group. Thanks for being here. My name is Mike Bernard. With me in the KFG studios, Kevin Corhorn and Josh Gregory. Stay up to date on all Wise Money content. Find us online, wisemoneyshow.com. Then all over social media, wherever you're at, we are there as well. Search the Wise Money Show. Okay, over the break, Josh sort of showed or found the data that showed most of these withdrawals, these record high withdrawals, early withdrawals that would have had a penalty, came out of 401ks by October. And of course, by October, the market had basically given up all of its gains for the year. It wasn't until November, December that we had 3 years worth of growth in a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
So that squashes that idea that maybe a record number of people took withdrawals because they saw their balance going up. Let me ask you a different question. And I know we see some of the data, but I just want your input. I have had more people asking the question, wow, vehicles are more expensive. Wow, this house is more than I expected. And when interest rates are also high, these numbers don't fit my budget. Should I take a little bit of money from my investments to pay down on these bigger ticket items so the loan is smaller and it fits more comfortably in my budget? You think that trend? Because no doubt, I have been seeing more of those questions. I know you guys have as well. Mm-hmm. I fielded one yesterday, talked through it with a client. Their interest rate, they had a balloon payment and they needed to refinance. And they said, okay, my interest rate's going from about 5%, it's commercial, going from about 5% to 8%.
Mm-hmm.
Should we take a chunk out of the investments? And so I'm getting this question a lot.
Yeah.
The data doesn't necessarily suggest that here, but thoughts on whether that's playing a role?
Oh, I mean, it certainly could. That question that you're posing is one that, I don't know, I feel like we're seeing that across all demographics. It's all age groups, all stages of life. Debt has accumulated in a lot of households, and it represents really almost like an investment. If you've got cash and you can pay down debt, that saves you a guaranteed interest, right? And even if you had to cash in some investments that maybe aren't earning as much as that debt is costing you, it could be a good move for you. The devil's always in the details, as we say, and the first question would be, well, does it make sense to cash something in and if you have to pay a bunch of taxes to get your hands on that cash?
Right.
Right? Like the tax man could be the hurdle here. It could be what stops out whether this is a good idea. We'll have people who get to retirement at times, and on the eve of retirement, they say, should I take $100,000 out of my 401k and just wipe out this mortgage so I don't have to carry it, you know, 7 more years into retirement?
And then you tell them, well, to get your hands on $100,000, you have to take out 160. And though, by the way, that 160 is going to mean you're going to pay extra Medicare tax, and you might have some IRMA and net investment income tax, and there's all these consequences.
Right.
That is the confusing thing about this. And as I think about this, I think about, all right, how would I know if I had maybe a problem in my financial life, or I might need help? Because this is a show about financial planning, and we want to help people with their financial plans. And so if you're listening to this and you say, well, I feel like if I do it just right and I can get a hardship withdrawal, or I could do this or that or other thing, you're probably not, because I think about a hardship withdrawal and I think, I do not want to in any way, shape or form seem, you know, condescending or think, oh, what a horrible idea. But that, I would really want that to be a last resort for someone. And I would go back and read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad, or I would read something that would inspire me to do something and take action in my finances. Mm-hmm. And if you read the book Rich Dad Poor Dad, it talks about how rich people invest in assets and middle class and poor people invest in liabilities. And again, that's not a slight to say someone's poor, but there is a problem. And to me, I look at this as a financial advisor and I say, well, what's the problem? Here's the problem. Nearly 5.3 million Americans 65 and older live in poverty, which is 1 in 10 seniors, and nearly half of all Americans are at risk of a financially insecure retirement. That's up from 1 in 3.
Yeah.
So we went from 30% being financially insecure in retirement to half the folks being financially insecure in retirement. And go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, I mean, one thing that all those folks have in common is a feeling of, at least, lack of options. You know, like they don't have a lot of flexibility in their life. There's not a lot of resources to fall back on when life throws them a curveball, that sort of thing. And that's really what financial planning is all about, is how do you expand the choices available to you, the great paths that you could take to get to that goal. And whether you don't have very many options or you just aren't aware of all of your options, either way, the result can be the same. You feel like, hey, I only have one choice in this matter, and that is cash in the 401k to avoid foreclosure. What if there were three other choices that could have been even better, though? And they just weren't on your radar because, you know, you were under the gun, you were forced or rushed on the decision. You didn't have someone that was maybe removed from the situation who could give a perspective from a different angle or has shown what has worked for them in the past. Maybe there were options 2 years ago if you had taken a slightly different path. And I would want to be able to look backwards and say, yeah, you know what, if I had done this a little bit differently, maybe I could have even more choices. I would be in a better situation. That's not to beat yourself up, to live in regret or anything. That's how we live and learn, right?
Yeah.
So that to me is what financial planning is all about. And it's the solution or the prevention for this situation that we're talking about with this article.
I know you're probably thinking, will you guys just get to the better approach? Can you give me some tangible details? But honestly, guys, I would, if you're watching on YouTube or whatever, I would double tap to the left and re-listen to what Josh just said, because it is about options. You want to have as many choices as possible when life does throw you a curveball. It inevitably will. Mm-hmm. It will. So here's the thing. This was, 3.6% of people last year. If you were to survey, Jay Leno sidewalk, you know, questions, if you were to survey how many people in total have made an early withdrawal from their retirement accounts at any point in their life, I'm going to say it'd be the majority, 60, 70%. I did early on, right? What's the big problem? Why would we even say this is a problem? Is it?
Yeah, it's a problem because really when you think of it, well, let's just say it could be.
Could be.
Because when I look at this, and I'm even hesitant to say this, but if I was talking to someone who was right out of college and they got their first job and they knew it wasn't going to be their forever job, I would tell them, put money in the 401k, put it on the Roth side of the 401k or the after-tax side, whichever one
Stop it.
You prefer, and... Because if you're going to leave this job in 2 to 3 years, you'll have an option to take that money out and not pay taxes or the 10% penalty on that money.
See,
possibly.
I would say, and we're going to get to it, but that young individual, do what you need to get the company match, do the Roth, do what
right.
you can, but then build that financial foundation so you
sure.
never have to touch those dollars. Because it's a problem, because you are robbing yourself
yes.
of all of the future compound interest. I don't have the data right in front of me, but the vast majority of Warren Buffett's wealth, the vast majority came after he was 65. Well, how is that possible? Compound interest. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The amount that he had amassed just continued to double. It just continued to grow. So we had a financial emergency when we were pregnant with our first child. We found out Cindy's health insurance, group health insurance, was not group health insurance. She had no maternity coverage. It was set up incorrectly, and there was no mulligans. And so all of a sudden, we're getting all of these bills as newlyweds and everything. And I look back on it now, and it's like, Josh, I should have done what you did or what you suggested. I should have explored all of the options unemotionally and said, how can we creatively figure this out instead of pulling a couple grand, not a ton, but a couple grand from our retirement accounts? Because right now I'm now a lot older, and that couple grand would be worth a couple more grand, significantly more. Mm-hmm. And so big mistake. And yet we've all sort of done it. So talking to an advisor, a planner, looking at all of your options, robs you of the compound interest, likely has some tax pain. If you do qualify for a hardship withdrawal, maybe you avoid the 10% penalty, but if it's pre-tax money, you're going to have some tax.
A hardship, you pay the 10% penalty on a hardship withdrawal.
All right.
Yeah, so if you're 59 and a half or younger. So this is the problem, the teeth that come with this thing. It likely... If you said, "Hey, I'm going to pull money out of my 401k," go ahead.
That is a cliffhanger. Right?
Always leave them wanting more, Mike.
Got it. Okay, so but what foundation should you build? What approach should you take? We've got that and more coming up on the Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group.
This is Wise Money with Corhorn Financial Group.
Some recent laws are being put in place actually right now that are going to make it easier for you to tap your 401k when you have a financial emergency. What are those rules, and should you implement them? Should you use them, or is there a better approach? We're helping with that right now. This is the Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group. Thanks for being here. My name is Mike Bernard. With me in the KFG studios, Kevin Corhorn and Josh Gregory. Stay up to date on all Wise Money content. Find us online, wisemoneyshow.com. And then also, every episode is on the YouTube channel, so go check us out there. Go to YouTube, search The Wise Money Show, and leave comments, questions there as well. We appreciate that. All right, well, record number of people per Vanguard took a hardship withdrawal from their 401k last year, 3.6%. That's double what it was a couple years ago. And like I said, record high. Well, there is a problem with that. We talked about avoid, you know, missing out on compound interest. Talked about the tax consequences of that as well.
I don't know if we fully unpacked that piece, though.
Go ahead.
Because, you know, you were talking about, do you pay taxes on the distribution? Do you pay a penalty on the distribution? There may also be some unintended consequences that follow you for a while. And I'm referring to your eligibility for certain tax credits in following years. You know, things like the retirement savers credit. It is something that you get basically, you know, dollars just knocked off your tax bill for contributing to retirement plans, and it can be up to a couple grand for you and your spouse. And if all of a sudden you're taking money out of your retirement accounts, that helps that unfortunately, it offsets some of your future contributions. It could make you ineligible for that down the road. So not only are there taxes in this current year, but what if there were even some tax consequences that hung around for a while?
Yeah.
And most people are not thinking about that when they're trying to get their hands on some cash. And so this one, the tax consequences of pulling money out early from your retirement accounts, it's one that really can't be overstated. It really should have a major warning attached to it. And it's something that you should have a very in-depth conversation with at least a tax advisor, but we would recommend a certified financial planner who knows about your whole financial life, not only shows you what the consequences are if you take this action, but are there alternatives that you could be considering?
Last consequence is we talked about it earlier, but that is potentially drawing money out of volatile investments at a time you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
If you've got dollars that you might need in the short term, you shouldn't have them invested aggressively, because the markets can go up, can go down very, very quickly without much warning. And therefore, if you know, hey, I might need to tap this money, you shouldn't have it invested aggressively. But if it's in a retirement account and technically it's for 2 decades from now, you should have it invested aggressively. So those are conflicting. They're at odds with each other. And therefore, not a good approach. Here's the challenge. Secure Act 2.0 put in several, but two of them we're going to hit right now, several new exceptions that allow you to, that invite you to draw money from your 401ks and retirement accounts early, before age 59 and a half. I'm just going to go on the record. We're just going to go on the record right now and say, even though these laws are new and available, does not mean that you should. It does not mean that, well, okay, great. Now they've relaxed the laws or they've made it more accessible. So that's what I will do more of. No, no, no. We're going to get to the right solution. But the first is the emergency withdrawal exception. This is a $1,000 withdrawal from your 401k up to every 3 years, once every 3 years. When you make this withdrawal, it's taxable, but it's not penalty mm-hmm. on this first $1,000. You can pay it back and kind of amend your taxes, so it's not taxable. And I haven't seen any 401k plans implement this yet because that is a nightmare scenario to logistically figure out.
Yeah, nightmare on their end. It creates a nightmare for you. I mean, imagine you take $1,000, you pay tax on it, but no penalty, and then later pay it back. To go back and amend tax returns, there's expense associated with that. And not that it will amount to the full $1,000, but it certainly erodes the goodness of it.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know why you would pay it back, to be honest.
That is the one, the $1,000, that would be exempt from the 10% penalty.
Correct, exactly.
But this is the case if you're listening and you're an employer and it's making you say, okay, I don't want to have a retirement plan because I can't put this kind of burden on my HR team or whomever is responsible for it. This is where you want to be in a pooled employer plan, and you want that burden. You want a 402A named fiduciary, and you want that person signing off on these withdrawals, making sure that if this is part of the plan document, that it's happening according to the way it should. But I think for $1,000, your spending nearly that in time, effort, and energy in soft costs with ending up with $1,000.
Well, and this one doesn't move the needle much at all. The second one is the linked emergency savings account, or I think it's being dubbed the sidecar account, where you can save up to $2,500 into a savings account that's actually linked to your 401k. You'll see it right there when you log into your 401k. It will be on your statement. It's after-tax contribution, so technically Roth. It's going to earn a little bit of interest. That will be tax-free. If you're high income, you make over $135,000, you cannot do this. If you are a part owner in a business, you cannot do this. But also your plan needs to allow it, and I haven't seen any plans allow this either, because this is just like a savings account. This is like treating your 401k like an ATM, mm-hmm. where you can draw money out of that, you can contribute it back in, but administratively, it's a nightmare. And I'm not going to say just for $2,500, but just for $2,500. It's a lot of logistical work, and it doesn't move the needle much on really solving the problem of emergencies.
Right, and here's the great news. There are banks and credit unions that will allow you to accomplish the exact same thing, and they're not going to limit it to $2,500.
The whole spirit behind this, though, was trying to give people an opportunity to build up that emergency fund that they should be doing at the bank anyway, mm-hmm. and still qualifying themselves for employer match, right? That's the intention behind this. But to me, it just underscores, wow, if Congress is trying to get this cutesy with the rules to make it possible for people to get a $2,500 emergency fund in place, man, that says a lot about how, as a nation, we just haven't prioritized liquid cash savings.
Yeah.
Right? Like most Americans, $2,500 would make a difference. And we have to change that somehow. Because how many different emergency situations could you dream up that far exceed $2,500? Mm-hmm. You know, $2,500 doesn't make you bulletproof, but it does put a little bit of distance between you and the edge of the cliff. And so you do need to have that in place. And it does need to be larger than $2,500 when a fully built emergency fund is in place.
All right. So we're kind of towing the line to, okay, well, the emergency fund is a better approach. The emergency fund on its own is not adequate. It's not just like saying, well, you need a budget. That's not adequate either. It doesn't do the full job. We call it a three bank account system. That is the right cash flow operating system. That's the right foundation. It's not your full financial house foundation, but that's most of it. So guys, let's talk about the three bank account system, why it's important, and why it is the, you know, the solution to having to tap your 401k.
Well, when you talk about what would give me hope and what would give me confidence, that again, this will make me, if fully implemented, will make me bulletproof. It won't make me bombproof. So that's important to note. But again, to have an operating system that I can have confidence in, even if it's going to take 3 years or 5 years to get it fully funded, you want to get started today.
Right. The whole idea is having a bank account that you've devoted to your normal monthly bills that are recurring and they're anticipated, they're even estimated. You know, it's something that you have an idea of what they're going to be on a regular basis. Most people, that's all the budgeting that they do, is what are the bills that I know are going to be coming every single month. The piece that needs to be added and is often missed are the non-monthly expenses that maybe come around more sporadically. Maybe it's on a quarterly basis. Maybe it's only once a year this expense lands in your lap. And you may or may not have it on your radar. You may not have it saved up. But that second bucket, bucket number two, is about setting aside cash on a monthly basis to cover the things that might be coming down the pike that could be a surprise. And often what we call emergencies are the things we just didn't have a game plan for.
Yep.
Right? I knew the tires were going bad, but I just didn't know it was going to blow out today.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And so to me, that delayed spending account is the linchpin here. It's what helps you avoid going to bucket number three, which is the emergency fund.
We're going to unpack that even more. That more coming up on the Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group.
This is Wise Money with Corhorn Financial Group.
Thanks for being here. This is the Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group. My name is Mike Bernard, here with me goofing around in the KFG studio with Kevin Corhorn and Josh Gregory. Every episode of the Wise Money Show is on podcast. Wherever you listen, go check it out. And when you're there, not only search the Wise Money Show, but subscribe to it there and rate the program there. We appreciate that. That gives us helpful feedback, number one. And number two, it helps others find the content. If they're looking for content on how to take the right approach in their finances, helps them find it. So we appreciate that. Go wherever you listen to podcasts, search the Wise Money Show, subscribe to it there. Appreciate it. Okay. So you rush to get through that three bank account system. I'll repeat, and then we can add in. First, that first bank account, likely a checking account. Mm-hmm. This is where you're likely going to have your monthly budget. Here's how much income we're projecting, like clockwork, because we're on salary, or approximately what we should get, but sort of baseline because we're on commission or our hours fluctuate, something like that. And you've got all your fixed monthly expenses right there. You've got all your variable monthly expenses. And by variable, I mean the amount might change. You have influence over whether you go to Starbucks that many times or whether you buy name brand stuff at the grocery store or whether you go out to eat Friday, Saturday, Sunday or just once a week, something like that. And so it's got variation, but it's still a monthly expense. It's right. Going to come up every single month.
Utility bills might fall into that, right?
Correct.
Your heating bill is a lot higher than in the winter than in the summer. Your cooling bill is obviously the opposite. But it's fluctuating, but it's recurring, right?
Yep.
Every month is the point.
So, and you're realistic about how much those expenses are, and you're seeing, well, do we have margin between how much income's coming in and those monthly expenses? Is there margin? Because you're going to need that margin for a separate expense category, and you're going to call that savings. Because bucket number two is likely a savings account. Can it work if you just keep it in your checking? Yeah. Set up to succeed? No, it typically is set up to fail if you just leave it as slush in your checking account. We would encourage you, yeah, actually make it a separate account. Whether a savings account, I have mine in money market accounts that operate like savings, but that's where you've looked. Instead of, I'm teaching my kids how to drive. Josh, you're there as well.
Yep.
Easton 6, he doesn't quite have it down yet. No, I'm just kidding, the olders. And you know, when you first start learning how to drive, your eyes are looking right in front of the hood, right? And so that's the first bank account, is right in front of the hood. The second bank account is you lift your eyes up and sort of look out. Okay, what's ahead? What's upcoming? And some of those, Josh, like you said, those are expected expenses that come up. Christmas, yep, it's going to be December 25th every single year. Your anniversary, you might not remember it, but it is going to be the same day every year. Vacations, those sorts of things. But then there's other things that are going to happen, but you might not know exactly when. Yeah, you got to save up for those too. Those are not emergencies.
Yeah.
If you know it's going to happen.
Things like car repairs.
Yeah.
You know, you have some engine issues, you have the tires or the brakes or whatever. You don't know when it's going to occur, when you're going to need to have it in to see the mechanic, but you know that every vehicle needs that type of upkeep.
Yep.
Right? And you can anticipate, on average, over longer periods of time, well, what does it take to keep this car running properly? And you need to have that as a budget. If that's a couple hundred dollars a month, it needs to be piling up so that once a year, when you buy those tires or you fix the brakes or do some engine work or whatever, you've already got the cash accumulated.
I combine that car repair with my car replacement fund, and I lump them together because some of you are thinking, well, geez, you know, these car repairs just got a lot more expensive. I have a hard time anticipating what the amount's going to be. Well, you need to at least make a guess. But then if you're also lumping in future car replacement in there and it's just all one big bucket, hopefully you're going to have enough to come up with it. But you're doing the hard work. We've got a list that you could actually work through. I think it's got 17 items on it, but it's not a comprehensive list. But that's where you're saving up for everything that as your eyes lift and you look down the road as far as you can see, yep, this is all that's coming. But the third account, that's for the deer. That's for the stuff you can't see. That's for the stuff even further down the road. There's a huge tree that's fallen across the road or something. That's for the truly unexpected stuff. That's typically a money market account. I would argue not a savings account. It's just not going to pay you enough interest because ideally you are working this plan and you're not going to, we've talked, this is a skill. This is a discipline. The more you do it, the better at it you get. And the fewer things actually become emergencies.
That's right.
But you save up for those emergencies. And ideally, those dollars you save up and you never have to touch.
Yeah, because the unexpected expenses, you've already piled up a bunch of cash that is liquid and available that you could tap into in bucket number two if the unexpected occurs. To me, the emergency fund, its most important purpose is to give you some breathing room if you had an interruption to your income.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you lost your job, and this is what a lot of people fear, especially coming into a period of time when some economists, some experts wonder whether or not a recession could occur. Now, they predicted it almost unanimously last year,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't occur. So thank goodness. But these things happen, you know. Economic ups and downs, they can unfortunately result in you losing your job or it affecting you and your family. And the question is, do you have cash to be able to fall back on that isn't already spoken for the car repair or Christmas gifts or vacation and things like that?
Whether you say we were in a recession or we are in one or we're going to be in one, either way, I heard this word recently, and it's a simple word, but it explains it. Things aren't stable.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we're in a recession, we're going to be in one, whatever, it's just not stable. And at those times, you want to be prepared for what could happen. Because here's the thing. Even if you're listening to this and you're saying, well, guys, that is so boring. That's right in line with all your content. Or that is so geeky. Or that seems so slow and not exciting. Here's why it is exciting. If you had that three bank account in place, that system in place, and you were working that, then you can go gangbusters after your goals. Wouldn't you have that confidence mm-hmm. to just save aggressively for your financial future, invest appropriately for your financial future, identify what those big goals are, whether that's paying off the mortgage, whether that's helping the kids with college, whether that's buying that second home or third home or retiring at a certain age. Wouldn't you have that brazen confidence to say, let's do it, let's go after those things because you've got that foundation in place? Yes, you would.
Absolutely.
So that's why we preach it so passionately, blocking and tackling in your financial life. That's the bulk. It's not all, but that's the bulk of the financial foundation, that the hard concrete foundation that you're going to build your financial house on.
That approach to managing your cash flow creates margin in your financial life. Because if you were starting out brand new into your working career, you're done with school, you've got your first job, and you're building your very first budget, I would encourage you, build that budget to base all your spending for bucket number one and number two,
mm-hmm.
the monthly bills and the sporadic bills. get it all covered in 85% of your take-home pay. If you could do that, if you could build a budget that is conservative, it's under control, you're deciding where the money goes instead of life circumstances, then it's that 15% of extra, that margin, that gives you all the firepower to go like gangbusters, as Mike was saying, towards your most important goals. And to me, those first goals are build up the emergency fund so you've got a cushion and you've got a confidence. Attack any debt that you have that's consumer loans or credit cards and things like that. Make sure that you're saving into the retirement plan at work at least enough to get the company match. Because if your employer is willing to do some of the lifting for your long-term goals, you got to be in the game. You got to take advantage of that offer that's on the table. And then beyond that, it is saving for those fun things, those long-term retirement goals. Most likely, if you just save enough to do the company match, that's not enough for retirement. You need to be doing more. That's what all that 15% of margin or goal achievement type dollars is for. And man, it's powerful to see that happening, especially year after year, because there's this snowball that builds in people's life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Josh is talking about playing defense. So I think about offense. Like if you are right now thinking, I might need to take a hardship withdrawal, this is what I would tell you to do. Look at your withholdings. If you are used to getting a big refund, stop it.
Yeah.
Just stop it. Get that money on an ongoing basis in your check. Look around your house and figure out what you can sell. You can put stuff on Facebook Marketplace, and it can be gone in minutes, literally. I sold an inversion table. Who needs an inversion table? Who in Michiana needs an inversion table? And someone wanted one.
Yeah.
Someone I know already had one.
Yeah. I know. And it's like, okay, sweet. It's no longer collecting dust in my basement. It's collecting dust in yours. And I would also look at my insurance. Is my insurance bundled my home and auto?
Yeah.
Am I getting a discount there? Like, there's all kinds of
work
places to, yes, work.
Work with your certified financial planner. They can help you navigate this. That's all the time we have for today. On behalf of Josh Gregory, Kevin Corhorn, all of us at KFG, have a great weekend. We'll see you next Saturday for the Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group. You don't have to stop talking. You just, like, just wrap it quick. I'll take it from you. I'll just interrupt.
No, I gave it to you.
I know
take
you
it,
did.
Take it. I am.
I thought that was more of a 10-minute panic.
Yeah.
Huh? No, I just handed it to you.
If I'm doing this, hey, we're over the time, wrap it up. Otherwise, I'm just going to interrupt you and take it.
Okay.
Yeah. We need to get into, like, I wish that was a 30-minute segment.
That's a good stopping point.
Because
next time, next time when I stop like that, Mike, just take it, for heaven's sake.
I will. Okay.
I'm sending you back to radio school.
The problem is back. It never went.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
Remedial radio school for the guys that never went.
Okay, so...
Securities offered through Silver Oak Securities, member FINRA/SIPC. Advisory services offered through KFG Wealth Management, LLC. Doing business as Corhorn Financial Group. KFG Wealth Management, LLC and Silver Oak Securities Incorporated companies are unaffiliated.